First Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. First Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Bit for reading the Word of God this morning. And as he requested prayer, it just reminded me that we need to be constant in prayer for all those who preach and teach and proclaim the Word of God. And if there's anything you can do here at Faith Baptist Church and do it faithfully, you can pray. And pray for those who would open up the Scriptures and pray that the truth would be proclaimed, and pray that there would be a thirst and a hunger for the Word of God, and that people who hear it would receive it. Amen. As a matter of fact, let's pray like that right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're here today and we're grateful to be here. And our hearts have been blessed as we have focused on Jesus. And God, how we thank you for your beloved Son, Jesus. Thank you that he laid aside the glory, the majesty of heaven, and he took upon himself human flesh, and he became a man without sin to die for us, to be raised from the dead, to once and for all take care of this problem of sin that separates us from you. Father, thank you for our Savior. And we're reminded that not only did he take care of the penalty of sin, but he took care of the power of sin. And God, that we can right now, as your children, live in victory and live in obedience and live in submission to you. Thank you for Jesus. And Father, we look forward to that time when sin will be no more. And we stand in your presence holy because of Jesus. So, Father, as we now look into your word this morning, I pray that you place within us this hunger and thirst, that we are truly seeking Jesus today, seeking you and seeking the truth that you give us in your word. And God, those who seek will be satisfied. And I pray that there is a satisfaction in you today, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 I want us to focus this morning on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And we've put the words on the screen, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. The Apostle Peter says this. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen to the same verse in the English Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, to bring together several different translations, let me give you now a literal rendering of this verse so that you can see more clearly the relationship between the words. Peter says to us, he says, therefore, having girded up the loins of your mind. Folks, this is an image of a person wearing long, flowing garments and tucking those garments into his belt so that he can run more freely and quickly without tripping. And so the part of you that is to be freed by this girding up is your mind, the loins of your mind, Peter says. And then he says, be sober. It's the image of not being drunk when it comes to spiritual things. It implies an alertness and evaluating things correctly because you see them clearly and your mind has not been numbed with intoxicating influences and affections of this world around you. And then Peter gives us the main verb in this verse, the main command in this verse. As a matter of fact, it's the first command in the letter. Think of what we've looked at in this epistle so far. This is the first command that he gives us. It's an imperative. And that command is this: hope fully. Fix your hope completely. Set your hope entirely. And so the first command is an action that you do with your mind and with your heart. It's a command to hope. Folks, hope is not an action of the body. It's an action of the mind. And Peter is commanding us to experience hope and to practice hope and to live in hope and to choose to hope. Fix your hope fully, he says. And this is the main verb in this sentence. The two phrases that he uses are subordinate phrases. They support the main verb or the main command. And that first supporting phrase is, gird up the loins of your mind. And the second supporting phrase is, be sober. And then comes the main verb. He says, rest your hope fully. And what this means is that girding up the loins of your mind and being sober are the means by which we hope fully. And then finally, Peter tells us what the object of this hope is and what we're hoping in and what we're placing our confidence in and what we're expecting with full assurance is the grace of God. The grace of God. Peter says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Peter's talking about this future event, the coming of Jesus Christ. And what's interesting is he uses the present tense in this statement. And so it's like Peter is saying, fix your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the coming of Jesus Christ, like it's right now. Like it's right now. In the present. Another way to say it is this: grace is on the way, and grace is already here. And so hope in it, and hope in it fully. Hope fully in God's grace. Now, of course, this command to hope fully in the grace of God by the Apostle Peter is set in the context of trouble and suffering and distress in the lives of these believers. And folks, that's the big picture of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. That gives us the main truth in this verse. And so this morning now, let's dig a little deeper and let's examine this grace and this hope. Now, a proper response to the grace of God then is hope. When we consider the grace of God, it should bring hope in our lives. That word hope, when it's used in the Bible, is quite different than the way that we normally use that word hope. We think of hope as a desire with anticipation. We're not sure that the desire will be met, but we want it and we anticipate it and we expect it. And so with that understanding of hope, there's always uncertainty. That's the way that we normally use this word hope in our lives. For example, someone might ask, well, will the worship service end today at 11:30? And you might say, well, I sure hope so. I mean, the kids are hungry, and I need to fix lunch, and I need to beat the crowd at Wendy's, and I need to go home and take a nap. But you're not sure, you're not entirely confident that the service will end at 11:30. I mean, Pastor Tim might go on and on and on and on. That's not the kind of hope that Peter's talking about here. That's not the kind of hope that we see in the Bible. But this hope that Peter speaks about is a hope of full assurance. It's a strong confidence in God. As a matter of fact, this word hope that we find in the Scriptures is closely related to the word faith. A strong assurance, a firm confidence. It's a trust, a confidence, a settled, strong assurance in God and His promises. And so there is always in the Scriptures an object of hope. We hope in God. We hope in God's promises. We hope in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We hope in God's grace. And so Peter says here, we rest our hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so there's an order here. There's the grace of God, and then there's our response to the grace of God. And that response, Peter says, is hope. It's a settled, strong, confident assurance in God. But notice verse 13. Peter begins verse 13 with this word. He says, therefore. So therefore, and we take the command then, therefore rest your hope fully on God's grace. And that word therefore, it takes us back to everything that Peter has said in the previous 12 verses. And what did he say in those verses? Verse 1, since God has chosen you, you are elect exiles. Verse 3, since God has caused you to be born again to a living hope. Verse 3, since God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, since God is keeping an inheritance for you, imperishable and undefiled and unfading. Verse 5, since God is protecting you through faith so that you won't lose that inheritance. Verses 6 and 7, since God is refining your faith by fire so that you won't lose that inheritance. Verse 8, since you love Jesus and believe Jesus and enjoy Jesus. Verses 10 through 12, since this is a great salvation that you possess that was declared by the prophets and is watched by the angels. Since all of this, verses 1 through 12, since all of this is God's grace, therefore fix your hope fully on the grace of God. So before there is hope, there is God. And folks, true Christianity is not first of all faith. It's not first of all hope. It's not first of all ethical living. It's not first of all a feeling. But true Christianity is first of all the sovereign person and gracious work of Almighty God. Only now in Peter's letter do we see a command by the Apostle Peter. Only now, after 12 verses of Peter declaring the sovereign action of God, only now do we have a command. Only now, after Peter has drawn our attention to God and God's work in our lives, in election, in the resurrection of Jesus, in the causing of the new birth, in the keeping of our inheritance, in the preservation of the faith of the saints, in the providential working of affliction to refine us, in the predicting work of the prophets, in the watchful praise of the angels. Only now, after that description and that declaration, only now do we see a command? You know what that tells us? We'll deal with this in future weeks. But when people are struggling and people are suffering and people are hurting and people are in trouble and people are in distress, folks, they don't need 1, 2, 3 step, do this. They need God. Amen. They need a view of God. They need to see God, and they need to see who God is and what God has done. That's what Peter does. That's what Peter does. He presents to them God and God's grace and God's gracious work in the lives of His people. Only now do we see a command, and that command is hope in God's grace. Peter says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Christianity is, first of all, God graciously and freely acting to save His people. And second, it is God's people hoping fully in the grace of God. And it's a grace that has moved from eternity past to eternity future. It is a grace that begins with God's choice to love us in eternity past, and a grace that culminates with the coming or the revelation of Jesus Christ. Folks, it is all and entirely the grace of God. So do you see why then Peter takes so much time to share these truths with us, these very specific truths about God and what God is doing? Because these believers that he writes to, they're suffering. They're struggling. There's persecution. There's difficulties in living their lives as Christians, and they need these reminders and they need these encouragements. Folks, sometimes the sufferings of life can cast a shadow on the grace of God, and what Peter does is he raises the blind and he opens the window and he says, this is God and this is what God has done for you. And be encouraged in God and be strengthened in God and keep your focus on God. And we need this encouragement. Amen. We need this help in everyday living. Fix your hope fully on the grace of God. Now that brings us then to this question. How do we hope fully in God's grace? How do we do that? So Peter doesn't leave this command just dangling without help, but he actually tells us two ways to stir up this hope. Remember, the main command of this sentence is rest your hope fully on the grace of God. But Peter gives us some subordinate commands. He gives us a description of how this takes place in our lives. And notice, first of all, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, pull up the robes of your mind and tuck them into your belt. I guess if we would say it in modern language, it would be turn the robes of your mind into running shorts. Prepare your mind for action. So this is something that we do with our mind. And if we do this with our mind, we will hope fully in God's grace. And folks, if we don't do this with our mind, we will not hope in God's grace. So what do we do with our minds to prepare for action? How do we move our minds so that our hope is fixed fully on the grace of God? The answer simply is this, one word, truth. Truth. That's how we gird up the loins of our mind. We do it with truth. You see, hope happens when our minds are girded with truth and active in truth. There's two reasons I would say that this morning. First of all, in the next verse, verse 14, Peter says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. And so the reason that we were once led along or led astray or led along by all the kinds of lusts in our lives instead of being led by hope in God's grace is because our minds were in ignorance. Our minds were in ignorance. Another way to say it, we didn't know the truth. We didn't know it. We were led, our minds were led in ignorance. And so if we want our hearts to flourish in hope, then we must gird up the loins of our minds with truth instead of ignorance. Truth is how we gird the loins of our minds. Second reason I would say that it's truth is because this is exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Hold your place. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 14. When I say Ephesians 6, you probably think armor of God, armor of God. That's right. That's right. Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 14. Notice what he says. He gives this description of the armor of God, and he says, verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? With truth." Having girded your waist with truth. So in essence, the Apostle Paul was saying the very same thing that the Apostle Peter is saying. Gird the loins of your mind, Peter says. Gird your waist with truth. And so it's truth. Truth that we gird our minds with. We fill our minds with the truth of God's Word. We run with the truth of Scripture. We work with the truth of Scripture. We fight with the truth of Scripture. We live with the truth of Scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And look at verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have" what? Hope. Hope. You see, that's what truth does. Truth gives us hope. It's by the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope. And folks, this is why it is absolutely crucial for you to immerse yourself in the Word of God. That's why it is so important for you to completely cover your mind and fill your mind with the Word of God. You read it. You meditate on it, you memorize it, you hear it, you're taught it, you take the Word of God in. It's absolutely necessary and critical for living the Christian life, for girding up the loins of our minds. We can only have hope, this full assurance in the person and the promises of God, if we know what God is like and what God has promised. We gird up the loins of our mind with truth. That's where the hope comes from. Notice the second way to stir up this hope. Peter says, verse 13, he says, "Be sober." Be sober. Soberness. Sobriety is a means for hoping in God's grace. Now, what does that mean in real life? What's he talking about? What's Peter saying? See, I think we can understand it this way, that if you really want to hope fully in God's grace, then don't let your mind drink in things that will numb your mind and numb your heart to the supreme value of God's grace. In other words, don't take things into your mind that will deaden your mind to the things of God. Don't drink in things in your thoughts that will intoxicate you and cause you to be numbed and deadened to the value of God and God's grace that's working in your life and in this world. You see, the greatest problem with drunkenness that comes from alcohol or from drugs is that it distorts reality by making the mind insensitive to what is true and real and valuable. The great danger then, folks, in our spiritual lives is that many, many things can distort reality in our lives and move us from what is true and real and valuable. What that means is that we can be drunk with money and drunk with possessions and drunk with power and position and education and television and social media and sex and music and people and jobs and clothes and computers and health and sports and fishing and hunting and mountains. Amen. And self-dependency. You see, the things of this world can deaden us to the things of God. And if you allow yourself to drink long and often of these things through your eyes and through your mind and through your actions, then your passion for truth and your hope in the grace of God will diminish and grow weak. And brothers and sisters, that's a huge challenge that we face. And you know those things that I just mentioned to you, by and in themselves, there's nothing wrong with those things. But when they become our focus, and when they become our affection, and when we drink them in so much that they deaden the things of God, then they become wrong. And this is real. This is real in our lives. This is real in the lives of Peter's readers, because through the suffering and the persecution that was beginning to come into their lives, they were losing their possessions. And they were losing their freedom. And they were losing their families. And they were losing their physical well-being. And if their hope was in these things, if these things were their treasure, then they would fade and they would falter. And they would fall in their faith. And therefore, Peter says, fix your hope fully in the grace of God. Fix your hope completely and entirely. Rest your hope fully in the grace of God that is coming. And the way to do that is to be sober and be alert and be awake and know what pulls you and know what numbs your mind to God and avoid it and stay away from it and reject it and be sober for the sake of full and passionate hope in the grace of God. And so let's put this together. The Christian life is not a stroll in the park. Amen. The Christian life is not a leisurely walk in the countryside. The Christians in Peter's day, they were seeing this reality. They were seeing the clear truth that being a Christian was not easy. It was hard. It was difficult. And folks, we need to realize this also. The Christian life is a race. The Christian life is a marathon. And to run the race, it will take everything. And our hope must be fixed on the grace of God. And we must gird our minds with the truth of God's Word. And we must be sober and alert to anything that will diminish our hope in God's grace. And so, Faith Baptist Church, let's do this. And let's do this together. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And rest your hope fully in the grace of God being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, when we look at a statement like this from your word, when we look at these words given to Peter by the Holy Spirit, we praise you and we thank you because we need it. And Father, we may not face some of the things that those readers of Peter faced in the first century, but we face many challenges. Father, we share in common with them a nature of sin that is selfish and self-centered. Father, we face a world system that is energized by Satan that rejects you and your truth. And Father, we face the enemy of our soul, Satan. And so we share in these same challenges, these same enemies. And Father, it may work itself out in many different ways, but we face it. And God, I thank you this morning that you give us hope by your grace. That we can trust you and we can depend upon you. And you have given us your sufficient word. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us a fellowship with other saints that we might encourage one another and fight this battle together. God, you've given us, in the words of Peter, all things that we need for life and godliness. Thank you, Father. But Lord, help us to take these words this morning and be reminded, be equipped, be prepared as we live this Christian life. And may we receive it this morning by faith. May we use it by faith. By faith, may we walk and live and obey and submit to you. Father, we look to you now to work in our hearts and to change us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.